All right, let's dive into the world of body-powered terminal devices.
Okay.
Now, that might sound a little intimidating at first,
Right.
but it's really just a fancy way of saying prosthetic hands and hooks that are powered by, well, you, by your own movements.
Exactly.
So if you're listening to this, you're probably interested in learning about the different types of devices out there and how they compare.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of like finding the perfect tool for the job, right?
Yeah, I like that analogy.
So imagine this. You need a new prosthetic hand.
Okay.
You want something strong, adaptable, and hey, maybe even a little bit cool.
Sure.
But with so many choices out there,
Right.
where do you even begin?
Well, that's where this comparison chart comes in.
Okay.
This was created by Wolf Schweitzer, who's a prosthetic user himself, back in June 2024.
Okay, so he's got that firsthand
Yeah.
experience. So this chart, it's kind of like a treasure map for navigating the world of body-powered devices.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
It covers everything from basic hooks to more advanced hands.
Right. He really tried to be comprehensive.
All right, so let's unpack this chart a bit.
Sure.
It's packed with information, like we've got appearance ratings, different grip types, ideal applications, even where to order these devices. Where do we even begin?
Well, let's start by breaking down the categories.
Okay.
So Schweitzer rates each device on things like appearance,
Okay.
different grip types, the angle of the grip, and a lot more.
Wow.
There are also categories for how easy it is to adjust the grip surface and power.
Okay.
Ideal applications, cost, weight, opening size, grip force, and even mounting options.
He really thought of everything.
He really did, yeah.
So, if I'm looking at this chart for the first time,
Yep.
what are the most important things to consider?
Well, I'd say it really depends on your individual needs and priorities.
Okay.
But some of the key things, I think, are, the types of grips the device offers,
Right.
how customizable it is,
Okay.
its durability, and of course, its intended applications.
Makes sense because you might need a device for delicate tasks
Right.
like typing or cooking, or
Exactly.
you might need something more robust for heavy lifting.
Exactly. And that's where Schweitzer's chart is really helpful.
How so?
Well, it gives you a snapshot of each device's strengths and weaknesses. So you can kind of narrow down your options based on what you need.
So we've got the lay of the land.
Right.
Now let's talk about some specific devices that caught your eye.
Absolutely. So one that stands out is the Ottobock hand.
Okay.
It's remarkable because it looks incredibly human-like.
Oh, wow.
And it scores very high in Schweitzer's appearance rating.
So it actually looks like a real hand.
It does,
Yeah.
yeah. And it's capable of touch and even shaking hands.
Wow. Imagine having a prosthetic that can actually shake
I
hands.
know,
That's
right?
got to be a game changer socially.
Absolutely.
But I'm guessing it's probably not the best for heavy-duty tasks.
You're right. It's generally used for more social situations where a natural appearance is really important.
That makes sense.
But if you're looking for raw power,
Yeah.
the Toughwear Equilux is in a league of its own.
Oh,
This
okay.
thing is built like a tank.
Built like a tank.
Yeah.
Wow.
Perfect for someone who needs a prosthetic that can handle tough jobs.
Okay, so we've moved from a delicate handshake to
Yes.
crushing power.
Exactly.
This thing is built like a tank. What makes it so tough?
One detail that jumps out on the chart is the VO greater than 10 VC note.
Okay, break that down for me.
Sure. So VO stands for voluntary opening.
Okay.
That's the force you use to open the device.
Gotcha.
And VC means voluntary closing,
Okay.
the force used to close the grip.
So what does that 10 mean?
So the Equilux can withstand over 10 times the force it takes to close it.
Wow, so it's incredibly strong.
Oh, yeah. We're talking serious strength here.
So the Equilux is like the heavy-duty workhorse.
I think that's a fair
But I have
assessment.
prosthetic hands. Now I'm curious about a device that seems to be somewhere in between
Okay.
the Hosmer number 5. It scores high in multiple application categories. Typing, kitchen work, laundry, you name it.
It does. It's a real all-rounder.
Okay.
And that can be a huge advantage for
Yeah.
someone who needs a versatile device
Right,
that
yeah.
can handle a variety of tasks.
So it's like having a Swiss Army knife of prosthetic hands.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
And what's even better is
Yeah.
it's relatively affordable
It is.
while still being highly functional.
Yes, it's a great option for people who need versatility and affordability.
Now, I noticed another device that stood out for precision work,
Okay, which one?
the Becker mechanical hand.
Oh, yeah, the Becker.
What makes it so special for those kinds of tasks?
Think of it this way. If other prosthetic hands are like using pliers,
Okay.
The Becker hand is like using a set of tweezers.
Oh, I see. So it's very precise.
Exactly.
So it offers incredibly fine motor control.
It does, yeah.
Making it a favorite for tasks like repairing computers and watches.
That's right.
So we've got hands for social situations,
mm-hmm.
hands for heavy lifting,
mm-hmm.
all-rounders, and even precision instruments.
Yeah, it's amazing how diverse these devices are.
It is, but it also raises the question, with so many options, how do you even begin to navigate all these choices?
Well, that's where understanding the nuances of each device becomes really crucial.
Okay.
And thankfully, Schweitzer's chart dives into those details.
So give me an example.
Sure. So he talks about grip surface tuning and power adjustment.
Okay.
Which might sound technical.
Right.
But are crucial for both comfort and functionality.
Now, if I were in your shoes,
uh-huh.
I'd be wondering, how does grip surface tuning actually work in practice?
Oh, sure. I can explain that.
Can you give me an example?
Of course. So let's say you're trying to grip a delicate wine glass.
Okay.
You wouldn't want a prosthetic that's going to crush it.
No, definitely not.
So grip surface tuning allows you to adjust the pressure the hand exerts when gripping an object.
Oh, okay.
So it's all about fine-tuning the grip to match the fragility of the object you're handling.
Ah, so it's about having control and preventing accidents.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Good.
And what about power adjustment? How does that factor into the equation?
Well, power adjustment is all about how much force you need to exert to close the grip.
Okay.
Some tasks require a light touch.
Right.
While others need a real grip.
Mm.
Having the ability to adjust that power makes the prosthetic much more versatile.
Okay.
And it reduces hand fatigue.
I bet.
Especially if you're using it for long periods.
It's like having different settings for different jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
And I imagine this is especially important for tasks that require a lot of repetition.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, things like putting in screws or, you know, using a keyboard all day.
Right. Those are things that could really tire your hand out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, let's shift gears for a moment and talk about another trend in prosthetics.
Oh, customization.
Customization.
Yeah, one device that really highlights this is the TRS Adult Prehensor.
Okay.
Now, Schweitzer hasn't had a chance to fully test it yet.
Okay.
But he included it in the chart because it represents a whole new level of adaptability.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What makes this device so unique?
Well, it's designed with interchangeable components.
Okay.
So you can actually swap out parts and adjust the grip in ways that other devices just can't.
So you can kind of tailor it to your own needs?
Exactly. You can think of it as a platform for customization.
Okay.
Rather than a fixed solution.
So it's like having a prosthetic toolkit.
Yeah, I like that analogy.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It really empowers users to tailor the device to their specific needs.
It does.
Now, we've talked about customizing functionality.
Right.
But what about appearance?
Sure.
I know some people prefer a more functional or industrial aesthetic, while others prioritize a natural look. Absolutely. And Schweitzer's chart caters to those preferences as well.
Okay, good.
Like the TRS jaws, for instance.
Okay.
That's a very basic, almost minimalist device.
Okay.
But incredibly durable and adaptable.
Okay.
He gives it a high score for its ability to handle a wide range of grip types.
Gotcha.
And it's known for its strength and reliability.
So it's like the workhorse of prosthetic devices.
Yeah, precisely.
Not flashy, but it gets the job done.
Exactly. And its simple design also makes it very easy to repair and maintain.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
For some users, that practicality is far more important than aesthetics.
Right, because if you're depending on this device every day,
yep.
You want to make sure that it's going to work.
Exactly.
And that it's easy to fix if something goes wrong.
Exactly.
It's a good reminder that functionality should always be the top priority when choosing a prosthetic device.
I completely agree.
Now, going back to Schweitzer's chart for a moment.
Sure.
He mentions that he's included devices based on his own applied user view. What does that tell us about the way he approaches this comparison?
Well, it shows that he prioritizes real-world practicality over theoretical capabilities.
Okay.
He's thinking about how these devices perform in everyday life, not just how they look on paper.
Right. And that's incredibly valuable for our listener.
It is.
Because they're not looking for a device to sit on a shelf.
Right.
They want something that will integrate seamlessly into their life.
Exactly. They want a prosthetic that's going to be a reliable partner, not a burden.
Well said. Now, as we've been talking about these devices,
yeah,
I'm noticing a theme here.
Okay.
Whether it's the Toughwear Ecolux with its incredible strength.
Uh-huh.
Or the Hosmer number 5 with its versatility.
Right.
Durability seems to be a key factor across the board.
You're absolutely right. durability is paramount when it comes to prosthetic devices.
Okay.
These are tools that are going to be used day in and day out, often in challenging environments.
Yeah. They need to be able to hold up.
They do. They need to be able to withstand wear and tear.
Right.
And they need to be reliable.
And when you think about it,
yeah,
reliability in a prosthetic device is about more than just convenience.
Right.
It's about safety and peace of mind.
You've hit the nail on the head. Knowing that your prosthetic can handle the demands you place on it,
right,
allows you to focus on living your life,
yeah,
not worrying about your device letting you down.
Exactly. Mm. Now, Schweitzer Schart doesn't shy away from potential problems with these devices.
Yeah, that's true.
He even has a category dedicated to frequent problems.
He does.
What can we learn from that?
Well, I think it's a reminder that even the best designed prosthetic devices are still machines.
Right.
And machines can malfunction.
Of course.
By acknowledging these potential issues, Schweitzer encourages users to be proactive about maintenance.
Okay.
And to understand the limitations of their devices.
So it's about being informed and prepared.
Precisely. It's about knowing what to look out for, how to troubleshoot minor issues, and when to seek professional help.
And it's another example of how Schweitzer's user perspective makes this chart so valuable.
Yeah.
He's not just presenting a rosy picture.
Right.
He's giving you the real deal, warts and all.
Exactly. He's providing a level of transparency that's often missing from marketing materials or product descriptions.
That's incredibly refreshing. It builds trust and empowers users to make informed decisions.
I agree.
Speaking of real-world challenges.
Oh, eh?
Schweitzer's chart also highlights an interesting point when it comes to sourcing these devices.
Oh, right.
He included a where to order category.
He did.
Noting that it's not as simple as walking into a store.
You're right. Finding and obtaining the right prosthetic can be a complex process.
Really?
Yeah. And there are some real head scratchers out there.
Like what?
For instance, he notes that Fallauer, a major manufacturer,
okay,
doesn't sell directly to individuals.
That's interesting. What's the thinking behind that?
It's unclear from the chart,
okay,
but it could be related to regulations, distribution agreements, or even liability concerns.
Okay.
But the bottom line is it adds another layer of complexity to the process.
So you might have to jump through some hoops.
Yeah, you might need to go through a prosthetist or another intermediary to obtain a Fallauer device.
So it's not just about choosing the right device.
Right.
It's also about navigating the system and understanding the intricacies of the prosthetic industry.
Exactly.
What are some other challenges people might face when trying to obtain a device?
Well, cost is a major factor.
Okay.
As you can see from Schweitzer's chart. Prices vary widely.
Right.
Depending on the device's complexity, features, and materials.
Makes sense.
Insurance coverage can also be tricky.
Uh-huh.
And you might need to advocate for yourself to get the device you need.
So it sounds like getting the right device requires research.
It does.
Patience and a bit of persistence.
Yeah, you could say that. But it's important to remember that you're not alone in this process.
That's good to hear.
There are resources available to help you navigate these challenges.
Okay.
And connecting with other users can provide invaluable support and guidance.
So it's a good idea to reach out to other people who have been through this.
Absolutely. Shared experiences and insights can make a world of difference.
That's a great point. And remember, you're the expert on your own needs and priorities.
That's right.
Don't be afraid to ask questions. Explore your options and advocate for what you need to live your life to the fullest.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So it sounds like choosing a prosthetic is a journey of self-discovery.
Yeah, in a way.
You're not just picking a device.
Right.
You're figuring out what works best for your life, your body, and your goals.
I like that.
And while Schweitzer's chart is an incredibly valuable resource.
It is.
It's just the starting point.
Exactly.
So how should our listener use this information to make the best decision for themselves?
Well, say the next step is connecting with real people.
Okay.
Talk to other prosthetic users.
Okay.
Reach out to prosthetists.
Gotcha.
And if possible, try out different devices.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Getting hands-on experience and hearing from others who have gone through this process can provide invaluable insights.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And as you gather information and try things out.
Yeah.
Remember to keep Schweitzer's categories in mind.
Okay.
Think about the grip types you'll need.
Uh-huh.
The level of customization that's important to you.
Right.
And the activities you want to be able to do.
It's like having a checklist of sorts.
Yeah.
A way to evaluate each option and see how it measures up to your personal needs.
Exactly. And remember, there's no right or wrong answer here.
Okay.
The best prosthetic is the one that empowers you to live your life to the fullest.
So at the end of the day,
yeah,
it comes down to finding the device that feels like an extension of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A tool that helps you achieve your goals and live the life you want.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive into the world of body-powered terminal devices.
It has been.
We've explored the incredible diversity of options, the importance of customization, and the real-world challenges users face.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground.
We did. What are some key takeaways you hope our listener walks away with?
Well, I hope they feel empowered and informed.
Okay.
Choosing a prosthetic can seem daunting.
Yeah, it can.
But knowledge is power.
That's true.
Understanding the technical aspects, exploring the options, and connecting with others can make the journey less overwhelming and more fulfilling.
It's about taking that initial feeling of being overwhelmed by choices and transforming it into a sense of agency and control.
Precisely. And remember, you are not alone on this journey.
That's important.
There's a whole community of people who've been through this process, and they're a wealth of knowledge and support.
So to our listener out there, if you're starting your journey of choosing a prosthetic, don't hesitate to reach out to other users, prosthetists, or advocacy groups.
They can really help.
Their experiences and insights can make all the difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And never underestimate the power of your own voice.
Okay.
Ask questions, advocate for your needs, and never settle for anything less than what empowers you to live your life to the fullest.
That's a powerful message to end on. Thank you so much for guiding us through this deep dive.
You're welcome. It's been my pleasure.
I feel like I've learned so much.
I'm glad to hear that. And to our listener, keep exploring.
Yeah.
Keep learning and never stop pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Great advice. And that concludes our deep dive into the world of body-powered terminal devices.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you found this journey as enlightening and empowering as we have. Until next time, keep diving.